MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Simon Fulmer, Chief Investment Officer at Independent Securities. Simon, appreciate the time today. From a sort of big picture macroeconomic perspective, the Chinese slowdown can actually be viewed in positive light because so much of that growth over the last couple of decades has been around sort of debt and housing spending and the like, which I suppose grows an economy, but sort of cutting back on that's not the worst.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's very good to purge past excesses, and often economies need to take their medicine, and the quicker you can take your medicine, the quicker you recover. And certainly we saw that in the global financial crisis around 15, 16 years ago, where the US banks took their medicine very quickly and the recovery was in with 18 months. You know, contrast that to Japan, where the government bolstered up those banks for a significant period of time, and it's only recently those stock markets have surpassed those highs because it took them a long time to actually adjust their asset values for the excesses of the past. So I think China's on a good path in that regard, and the slowdown is good because it'll lead to more efficient capital allocation going forward.
And that then ties in. I mean, particularly, everyone thought that the zero COVID policy being lifted was going to be significant. It was in some ways, but the big bank stimulus that a lot were expecting hasn't come. And that again, perhaps, is the Chinese sort of Xi Jinping kind of trying to be responsible and almost change tack in China, internal growth rather than debt fueled.
Yeah, and I think we've all been disappointed by the rally that we all thought would transpire after COVID restrictions were dropped, and that certainly hasn't happened, and the economies continue to remain restrained, and we see that reflected in the stock market, where the Hang Seng index is down 40% over the last 3 years. And I was actually just looking in terms of historical context where the Hang Seng is now trading, and it's trading at the same level as it was 27 years ago. So certainly valuations and prices are quite depressed. I think historically, investors have always relied on some sort of big bang stimulus measure from the Chinese government, as we saw in 2016 and towards the end of the global financial crisis. And this time around, we haven't seen those sorts of measures. And I think it has disappointed investors. But I think what we've seen are far more subtle signs from the government, specifically in terms of trying to get the stock market to move higher. And specifically, we've seen the Chinese Sovereign Wealth Fund starting to buy domestic ETFs. The Chinese Security Regulatory Commission has encouraged institutional investors to participate in the stock market with greater effort. And usually when there's a directive from the CCP, it is adhered to by all the other regulatory bodies that sit below it, and of course, corporates. And then we've also seen things like stamp duty halving, margin requirements have also been reduced, and insurance regulators have reduced the risk weighting of stocks when assessing companies' capital adequacy requirements. So all of those point to stimulatory, or the government trying to stimulate the economy, I think because they realize the positive wealth effect that it can have. And of course, if you have a rising stock market, it increases confidence, which causes people to spend more money, which creates higher employment, which leads to improved productivity, and of course leads to higher GDP growth. We also saw, you know, once again, going back to the great financial crisis, the impact of that on the US and the wealth that was created in the US post the global financial crisis. So I think in a manner of speaking, the Chinese regulators are trying to do something similar.
And what we've got, and you mentioned the Hang Seng, if we look at Chinese stocks and the note you put out, Tencent, Alibaba, JD.com, and we compare the valuations on those Chinese tech stocks, which are, you know, global leaders in their own rights, we compare that against the US. I mean, it's chalk and cheese. The US stocks are anything between expensive and eye-wateringly expensive, and these are eye-wateringly cheap in many cases.
Yeah, and they're exceptionally cheap, and we've made the point that, you know, we haven't seen valuations this cheap in 20, 25 years. And certainly there should be some discount to Chinese shares just because of the high risk that comes with them. But all the bad news that you can imagine in Chinese shares. And one of the things that we're increasingly seeing is that they have very high cash balances, specifically when compared to their market cap. So if you look at something like Alibaba, it has 35% of its market cap represented by net cash on its balance sheet. Baidu is about 50% of net cash as a percentage of its market cap, and JD.com is almost 80%. Wow. So in anyone's language, those are very cheap valuations. And if you start backing that cash out of the market cap, you get to either low or negative PE multiples.
And the other perhaps final piece in the puzzle is household cash balances, which in the note you put out has increased significantly over the last four or so years.
Exactly. And I think that's another piece of the story is that Chinese households have become very conservative. And I alluded earlier on to the Chinese government trying to get this wealth effect going. And it essentially is to get households to move their cash balances, which have gone up 65% to $7.4 trillion over the last couple of years, because they were hit so hard during COVID and the lockdowns were severe. So the Chinese are quite different to the rest of the world, where they've historically predominantly invested in either real estate or cash. At the moment, 70% of Chinese savings are in real estate, with the balance being in cash or equities, but equities are a much smaller component. So if there is any structural change in that relationship, it could result in a meaningful flow of cash going into the stock market, which would be very good for those depressed valuations. And of course, at the same time, although China is the world's second biggest economy, by no means does it represent the second biggest country in global investors' portfolios. Most global investors are significantly underweight Chinese equities.
And if those private citizens start spending it, back to that cycle you mentioned in terms of investors feel wealthy, it gives them some confidence, they spend, the valuations go up. We'll leave it there. Simon Fulmer, Chief Investment Officer, Independent Securities. Appreciate the time.
And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Chatting with Simon there. Are you bullish on Chinese stocks? And he makes a great point around, you know, they're never going to get the sort of valuations perhaps around that you see in US tech stocks. But certainly, I mean, JD.com, 80% of market cap is in cash. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.